Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. Anchor gives you everything you need. It's one place. And by the way, it's for free. You can use your phone, your tablet, your laptop, whatever. Creation tools allow you to record and edit your podcast so it sounds great. They'll distribute your podcast for you. You can be heard everywhere. Spotify, iTunes, Apple, Google Podcasts, and so much more. You can easily make money from your podcast with no minimum subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Get started right now. Download it. You know you want to. Let's go. Hey, everybody. Houston here. My brother, Greg McCray. Martez is supposed to join us, but he was unavailable right now. It's all right. You know where you fit in. How you doing, brother?
I'm fine, brother. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Let's jump into it. Were you able to see SmackDown tonight, first of all? What's your opinion on the Queen of the Ring tournament?
The Queen's tournament?
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed that Nate Owens did not get it. I'm thoroughly disappointed that Nate Owens did not get brought to the Bloodline yet. I'm extremely disappointed by who they have in the semifinals over there. And when I saw the bracket, I could already figure out who I think is going to win. I'm very disappointed by who I see on the other side of the bracket.
Our favorite just yet at the moment, but I probably will as we go along, probably. But technically, the first to ever do it was the Hall of Famer, China. Almost. Because she entered the 1999 King of the Ring tournament. She got made to the semifinals. And she got beat by fellow Hall of Famer Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
She's China's the first to almost do it.
I don't like the draw that they got. I mean, the Raw Women's, you know, side is a little better. I don't like the women, the
eight
women they
play
in
the
tournament. I don't like
it. Yeah, man. What was your pick for the King of the Ring tournament?
I like it a little bit, but I do not like the direction that they're going in.
Oh, definitely.
I don't feel like they really doing him justice the way he should be. He should have been at least a one-time heavyweight champion, or at least a one-time universal champion if you want to be WWE champion. But he's one of the I would say severely underused. He's earned his place as being earned his time as work as U.S. champion, proving that he was a great champion. Proving a great tag team champion alongside Sheamus. I kind of hope they bring the bar back and use that to catapult him back into catapult him into a heavyweight champion scene. But outside of that, I just really disappointed.
Imagine this Roman Reigns, can he beat Brock Lesnar?
Can Brock Lesnar beat this Roman Reigns? It should be the question.
They fought many a time, but this is different. This Roman Reigns is a bad A, if you will. This Roman Reigns is like you need to recognize
a whole different level. He's got more confidence. You say cockier, stronger. He got a couple more moves that he didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
He's not awestruck by Brock Lesnar as before. And even before, Brock did all that stuff to him before and couldn't put him away. So, now he's got the tools he needs to go that stuff further. So he's going ahead and take Brock out. when he get his opportunity after he gets a chance to first off right.
Now Brock, in my, I used to brag on Brock Lesnar. I still do now and then, but I was just highly disappointed since WrestleMania 36. The last time I put my confidence in Brock Lesnar, it was the thing. I couldn't brag on the accomplishments of Brock Lesnar for 90 days. That's 3 months. So, and this SOB, if you will, let me down. So my, but this go around, I'm going Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I don't see right now nobody beat Roman Reigns to take WrestleMania. I don't see nobody big enough yet on the roster, big enough star-wise, to beat Roman Reigns. Other than
I'm looking forward to Crown Jewel. Mind you, it's Thursday, not Friday, not Saturday, not Sunday. Thursday. I want to say here in the States, it'll be noon, live in the Ryder area, in Ryder. Here it'll be noonish over here. So make sure you check that out.
Mm-hmm. It always bring out, you know, the great thoughts for that. I'm excited to see how the bouts going, how things can be set up for the future, for the Raw SmackDown to kick in after they had a draft to finally go to perspective. So,
Now this year in Saudi, we're going to have a women's match, but here's the thing. Their culture, they require the women to cover up. So do not expect Becky, and Bianca to be in their traditional gear. Not over there. Long sleeve shirt, long sleeve pants, whatever. Because they want their women to cover up.
I think last year, the last match they didn't have on the long sleeve.
Well, that because that was the Thunderdome. Because that was like, they designed it so it's like, it's, they look like it's in the Saudi thing they did in Florida for Thunderdome.
They was able to go to Saudi because they had a whole bunch of boxing matches in Saudi Arabia. I'm not sure. You may be right, but I'm thinking the last women's match they had out there, that they had on the long pants, but they was able to be in short sleeve. So I think Natalya wrestling match out there with what's the name of everything? What's the name of the women's right?
Lacey.
Yeah, Lacey Evans.
Mm-hmm.
I know
they
had on pants,
because
you know, they don't have on
shorts. Not over there, baby. No short shorts over here. Over there.
Now, I know, okay. Well, the first one to make it, they had to cover head to toe.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
This time, they didn't have to have their head. They were just able to have on the long sleeve and the long pants. So, I think, you know, it was just a step up from what it was the first one to make their head over there.
I'm going to just say this, if it's a fact, because Saudi, their culture is really strict against women. Very strict against women. A woman can't even walk down the street by herself. Well, yeah, that's right. A woman can walk down the street by herself in Saudi.
Yeah.
Very protective nature. And a very protective culture over there. But it's gonna be interesting to see Crown Jewel coming Thursday. Maybe on your lunch break, you can check it out on your lunch break.
and enjoy yourself for that little bit. And Dave, about to say David, before we go any further, I gotta let you know, today's episode is brought to you by Backup Deliveries and More LLC. They put the D in delivery. Call 888-712-BACKUP. That's BAKUP. Or, hang on a second, hear me pull it up. I have my sponsors here and I forgot all about that. Anyway. Backup Deliveries and More LLC. They put the D in delivery. 888-712-BACKUP. I'm trying to get the rest of the number. Y'all just give me 1 second. Okay. 888-712-2587. 888-712-2587. One more time. 888-712-2587. They put the D in delivery. Backup Deliveries and More LLC. You have a CDL license. You can drive trucks. You might want to hit them up and work out something that's cool for you. Backup Deliveries and More LLC. Brother, let me ask you this right quick. If you were to make matches with WWE, what would you change and what would you keep?
What would I change as far as the matches?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to follow what I would keep. I'm loving the feud they have going on with Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch, as well as Sasha Banks.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have let Sasha Banks come in and break it up like she did at Extreme Rules. But then, I can understand that, and that would super strange. What I would change though is I would have my build up to be to a point that can be a level of a superstar worthy of, you can see them truly beat Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. But the biggest problem right now is you don't have nobody. Mission on SmackDown built up big enough to beat Roman Reigns. The closest to it was Big E. But Big E moved on to getting the WWE Championship, becoming the third African American within the last 3 years to win the WWE Championship. Now, I take that back. But see, now you have, in the future, you have Drew McIntyre on there. So I could see him being, one of the few that could potentially do it. Mm-hmm. The question is if and when. And again, I don't think that'll be around WrestleMania. I could see that. I wouldn't want to necessarily see him win the Royal Rumble, but I would like to some way better way he can earn it and get back to that point to win it. The Sami Zayn with the Mysterios, I'm not liking that. Some of the lower tier women matches, you're not giving the women the right push they need. And again, it's time, if you guys, they should have been brought their own into the bloodline. She came over there and was mad about not getting the respect that she wanted and all that. Okay. Her husband just came in like, look, baby, I got something for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go talk to the tribal chief. You family.
I can see it happening, man.
Yeah.
Is you messing with Naomi's money, man. She's not being able to be on the show. If she can't on the show, she can't work. She can't work, she can't get paid. Can't get paid, we got a problem.
Yeah.
If you can't be on the show, you can't work. Can't work the show. Can't work the show, you're not going to get paid. Not going to get paid, we got a huge problem around here. You messing with her money, and she can't have that.
Her money, she's a former two-time women's division SmackDown Women's Champion. Mm-hmm. To me, just like I said with the Usos, it took far too long to allow them to make it to win the belt. It took too long for them to win a first tag team title. It took too long for them to win her first SmackDown title. She had to give it up to her injury. But she came back and worked her way up and won it back in her hometown at WrestleMania. And I really didn't like the way they allowed her to lose it. And that happened because they were mad at her put the glow in the WWE title belt.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, you know, to me, I know a lot of people was loving it. But because it was so called, they idea to do it, they got mad with her to do it.
Yes, indeed, man. Let's skip ahead real quick to let's take a little sneak peek in the Royal Rumble. Who you got?
Oh, my. I don't know right now. I think I would pick somebody from either Okay, I'm going to give you three picks.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, I see somebody that they want to push that's real strong coming from NXT. I can see either Matt Riddle or Keith Bearcat Lee.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Keith Lee, when he first came out of NXT, he cleanly kicked Drew McIntyre. He cleanly beat Randy Orton. They messed up that momentum. He should have been U.S. champion after that. Slowly build him up so that he can be, you know, work his way up to go ahead to that WWE title picture or the Universal title picture. Even a person I can see, they should have come to, you know, to be on SmackDown, allow him to work his way up, get big match wins, build it up. People get behind him. People love him. That's one of my, he's one of my favorite wrestlers. He was out because of he had COVID and said it actually lost the next part. And I'm happy to see that he's back healthy, back in the ring, with a new swagger, back ready to do some work, to get it done. I'm ready to see him with the world title.
No. I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna choose my pick. I'm gonna say somebody MVP because he mentioned this years ago on Twitter, and it's so true. First of all, I'm going to pick Nakamura. What you mean?
Yeah, he wanted. I didn't particularly know. Like how they did the match with him and AJ Styles, they should have let that be just a classic great match. I can't see Nakamura as a world champion now versus back when he won the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it now.
I'll say this. Though mine for weeks, I'll say this. MVP once tweeted on Twitter, says he said five times fast. He said that there's life outside of the E, referring to there's success outside of WWE, and it's so true. I saw Twitter, I'm just strolling down and everything. I saw Chelsea Green. She had tried to prove that as well by application to OnlyFans. They got rejected. Now, before y'all people get y'all out of the gutter, it's not what you think it is, because Selena Vega on there, and she sells ladies' underwear, so it's not what you think it is. Yeah, you have to get your mind out of the gutter. Although I wish he was what you think it is. I said it. You know. But anyway, the point is, there is life. There is life outside the E. As far as WWE is concerned, you can't be outside of the greatest machine in the world, WWE, or wrestling entertainment, and be successful as hell.
Yeah.
I look across the street at AEW and how they just celebrated their second year anniversary television wise, and they're doing alright for themselves.
Oh, they're doing more than alright. They are creating competition, much needed competition, for the world is a better place with two strong wrestling companies. And this is what TNA was on their way to being, and TNA let somebody come in and mess up a good thing they had going. I really wonder one of the things that messed up TNA, they didn't have a strong enough backing to start going around touring shows. They just stayed in on that. And I believe that was one thing that worked really well for them. You just have your show in Orlando. People come there to watch your shows. You go out for your big pay-per-views, big pay-per-view matches, mm-hmm. big house shows. But everything else, you just do it in the Impact Zone in Orlando. You have people coming out there. You help them building up the city of Orlando. You could make the city of, the Impact Zone that you had in Orlando. You could put more seats in there and make it bigger. You can earn more money. Then in about 5 years, once get to a certain point, I believe that one should have went on the road. But I think they went on the road too early, too fast. Mm. And they wasn't ready for that. There's a whole lot you got to do just talking about going on the road.
It's facts.
And one of their favorite, two of my favorite characters from Impact that to me was didn't really get their due with the Alpha Male and Monty something Alpha Male and Abyss. But Abyss, in the TNA Hall of Fame, but to me, I wish I could have. Would love to see them somewhere else.
You know, I want to jump to, I'm going to go old school on you. A company that you were very fond of back in the day called WCW. I'm watching Ready to Rumble. Ready, the number two Rumble. And in my opinion, that was the dumbest thing I ever seen in my life. It made wrestling fans mock wrestling fans and our intelligence. And on top of that, it's their one and only movie.
I love the movie. It's a great parody. I think too many people took it too literal. Mm-hmm. It wasn't made for the casual wrestling fan. I think for some people, they thought it was going to be an attempt to bring the casual wrestling fan into wrestling. But to me, it's a movie that's not made for casual wrestling fans. It's made for people who love wrestling. That it was an attempt to create a brand new match in wrestling. And to me, if it was done right, it would have been a great, great concept match mm-hmm. in real life. But the way they did it, I think that was at a point like WCW was just doing anything. That's one of the matches that should have stayed in a movie, but you could have had something in real life that could have, maybe somewhere around that or something. I kind of like the match a little bit, but again, to me, the way they executed it, pay-per-view.
Mm.
Messed it up.
I can't, it's been 20 years, and I still can't believe that freaking David Arquette is a former, in the record book, WCW World Champion.
Yes.
In the record books.
And that was just to bring exposure to their movie. WCW needed the money. Mm-hmm. They got paid for that.
And soon they
David Arquette recouped from that. And, David Arquette's career has been the same since that, because he didn't earn it. He shouldn't never earned it. WCW was going under, and they had people who had the money that could have brought it, and had the money that people that wanted to buy it. And I think it was someone behind the scenes that they was wanted to go ahead and sell it to Vince. Didn't want Vince somehow make some underhand things so that he could monopolize the sport of wrestling. And that was just messed up. You could have came in agreement like AEW did with Impact, you know, to make some money by doing a maybe a 1 year thing where we can see like dream matches, you know, maybe once dream match or two or three dream matches a year and play pay per view stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just do that once, maybe once in a lifetime. And then if the match is real good, look, you can do the rematch on the other people's show, you know. And if it's a real, real good, you could do a joint show and have the trilogy. They have certain wrestlers, you know, man, they get the ring together. Like I said about New Day and the Usos. I want to say 18, 19. That whole summer, I want to say from July, June, May, June, all the way until November. Every match they had, 5 stars. It was a course of 3 pay-per-views. I want to say SummerSlam was one of them. I'm thinking maybe SummerSlam was in between. But man, they started on pre-show. Mm-hmm. That match was so good. Nothing on the regular show to me was doing nothing. And I've never seen where, you know, it's been a while since I've really seen tag team match just was so good it basically stole the show. Back in the days, that was the Hardys, the Dudleys, and Edge and Christian. Them two, though, man, them matches were so good. It pull you in. It's one of the matches where the world stands still. You ain't take your eyes off the TV because you don't want to miss what they're going to do. It was for the pre-show, 5 star. Mm-hmm. The first match of the pay-per-view, 5 star. The middle match, pay-per-view, 5 star. Yeah, it was a pay-per-view after SummerSlam where they finally gave him, they did get a main event. They put him like the first hour, the first show, the last hour. First match, the last hour. They stole the show still. Come on now.
Mm-hmm. No. Ah, man, I'll tell you something. If we can go back in time, I remember some people said they had the ability to buy it. They, back WCW, they had the ability to buy it, they would have. Like Chris Jericho, he said if he had the money or what it costs, he would buy it.
Goldberg said that he had the money to buy it. Mm-hmm. If he knew about it, he would have bought WCW.
Yeah.
Nobody told him about it. Mm. I would even love the fact in real life if Shane would have really brought it and would have left it as a separate show, y'all could have still, I think they would have still made money even with WWE owning it.
Mm-hmm.
Make it still believable that Shane brought it. Y'all compete for a few more years as separate shows. You're gonna bring in extra money now that they know that Shane McMahon owns this show, you own yours. Y'all can come together once or twice a year for a mega joint show. We're going to put our champion against your champion or whatever. You can still do 2 pay-per-views a year. you're going to get big money because people want to see how your wrestling going to come out. Day wrestling and the show going to come out. You can still do two Monday night shows, still get big money. Come on now.
I guess you could, man. Yes, you could.
He ego driven. That's why he brought it and then swallowed it up and got rid of people. If he was smart business wise, I would have left it separate. I would have made more money.
And the funny thing is, like, when he announced it, he bought the whole company to fire one dude. Jeff Jarrett, I'm talking about. He bought the whole company to fire one person.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
And the downfall of it is, like, they switched over to WWE programming, and so they had a short-lived alliance thing. I love the alliance storyline. It was just too short-lived. Yeah, yeah. It was like July to November. Yeah.
Back in the attitude era.
Mm-hmm.
Vince McMahon, the older he gets, the more cynical he gets. The business money losing decision that he makes, and he always gets saved by that one or two great business deal that he did.
Mm-hmm.
But he would have a ton more money if he listens to his fans, start paying for it, and I would love to see, okay, look, you don't give us what we want, you're just not going to support you. We do that with food places.
Yes. That is fat.
Yeah.
I spent some time with WCW. All their episodes are available right now on Peacock. I am in the middle of, I wanted to say right around the Jamboree. I wanted to say it was, 98? I wanted to say. Jamboree 98. So I'm on that as well. But the most insulting moment of a WCW is the finger poke of doom.
Yeah, that's one of the dumbest WCW decisions ever made.
The whole point of that was just to unite NWO Black and White, NWO Wolfpack. Y'all could just did that. Y'all could just brought them together. Y'all ain't got to do all that. Cool and suck at the same time. The NWO was hot until it wasn't.
Yeah. Now, they built up somebody perfect enough for him to take Goldberg out and to legitimately say that he beat Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
When they built up DDP. And I saw how it was perfectly set up. You could have set it up where, DDP went up against Goldberg a few times in that your big WCW pay-per-view. He finally hit him with the diamond cutter. Finally, somebody beat Goldberg. and then let Goldberg restart his winning streak again, and his, you know, natural rivalry, that was created, natural rivalry, Goldberg versus DDP. Can DDP beat Goldberg again? Can Goldberg win his title back? Make Goldberg go undefeated for another year to get his rematch against Diamond Dallas Page, have Dallas Page beat everybody for the next year. And then at the, that was the expectation for Will Grayson. What's Great American Bad or something else? It might have been Great American Bad. But back to my point, let's just build up for another year. Money making year. And everybody gets anticipating, you know, DDP still going strong. You watch the Goldberg going to everybody. Then Goldberg DDP part two. No, Goldberg DDP three. Where, or, you know, the rematch, the Goldberg went his belt back. I'm buying that. I'm getting that pay-per-view. That back when pay-per-view was what, $60, $70?
It still is $60-something.
Shoot, I'm buying it. I'm pre-ordering it. I'm making sure I'm there. I'm ordering my pizza and everything early. So, you can have that still out a big venue, like the AT&T Center, Superdome or whatever.
Man,
come on now. WCW,
they
let a lot of
slip away. I remember, man, like, the finger poke, dog, go back to that for a reason. Because the NWO was hot. I mean, then, too much of a good thing, it's not good. They ran NWO to the ground.
Philly,
all
right. When I say, I'm with you. NWO was so good, you know, right along with him, you had not alone on the NWO, you had Goldberg then. And it was perfect how they had it set up. NWO going strong. Goldberg coming up undefeated. And Goldberg and Hulk Hogan. And Goldberg finally the one to take Hulk Hogan down. Now, they should have had the top people come after Hogan. Now, I understand you had all these different people, you know, Hogan teaming up with people, building up so that they can have a big matches. You ain't put nobody big against Goldberg. And then you want to have the NWO, black and white, the Wolfpack, the BWO, the Latino World Order. Come on. You're just doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
You have too many people doing too many things. You know, and, you know, stick with your, okay, once it ran its course, okay, kick some of the people out of the NWO, let it be maybe a select few. Of course, you know, your WCW people coming back strong, come back from taking, retaking over their show, but still let the NWO that controlling the whole show, but being a dominant faction like the Four Horsemen, so that, you know, they still, you know, running and doing their thing. And, you know, they can work their way back up to regaining all the belts once again or whatnot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. I didn't watch WWF for, I want to say, maybe 2 years after Hogan started NWO. I didn't watch it at all until Goldberg lost his first match. You could pay me to turn away from a Goldberg match. I'd have got hit upside the head by my mama about taking out the trash.
Mm.
I'm like, yes, ma'am, I'm gonna take it out. Just please, let me watch the Goldberg match. I mean, as soon as the commercial come on, I'm out there. If the commercial come on in the middle of the match, I'm out there. So, I say I get that trash out in 30 seconds or less. Had the garbage can in there, get the trash, no, but I'm back in my seat. Mm. With a fresh cup of drink.
Yes, indeed, man. You know, I'm gonna do one more thing about WCW. We'll move on here. They had too many people in power that did not know what they were doing.
I mean, okay, you know, Chad Taylor, he put in the Eric Bischoff, and Eric Bischoff got, you know, kind of lucky. Doing his thing. But the one thing, one of the perfect things that you do in wrestling You gotta build up a great long term storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're building it up and waiting for the payoff, what you have to do is also plan for your next long term storyline. You have to plan for a short term and a mid term storyline after that payoff for the long term storyline. And you gotta, you know, you gotta plan on what you're gonna do once the big payoff. How you gonna keep it going? What's to do the, you know, what you gonna do once you get your payoff to the bridge the gap from your payoff to the next big storyline? You know, how you gonna build that momentum going without making it scale? One thing to me, AEW didn't do. I feel like they started off right with the Hangman Adam Page, the way they started off. Then I think they kind of lost their footing when they allowed him to lose his first match. When everything, I mean, they had it perfectly set up. Him and Omega was tag team partners. Then they was having a little tension, but then they were tag team champions. They held on to the title, and they finally lost the title. But then kind of seemed that they was off a little bit. Then it wasn't just really became a heel and won the title, and then he started putting down Adam Page and stuff, and he was undefeated, and then he lost his first match, which prevented him from winning the title. So you had a chance to keep it going, figure out another way to bring him in, but then they kind of let him fall away. But then now they're making it right now by bringing him back and making him relevant. When you have a long-term storyline like that, and last year they let it super out in the middle of it, they got lucky, and they still had the people in it by taking them off of TV for a while and then bringing them back so that people can get reinvested in it. Because us as fans, we get really invested in long-term storylines,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we tune into the show weekly to continue to keep up with the long-term, mid-term storylines. That's a big problem, I think, with WCW. They had very few times where they saw the long term. They didn't have the right people to help them sustain it and keep have multiple storylines to help build off each other. And one of the WWE problems is you get lucky, very few natural storylines that you allow to keep going, but Vince McMahon stopped too many natural storylines that happen. Everything all right there, bro? don't know if he's still on, if I'm still on here recording. So we have a little technical difficulty. David, bro, are you still on here? Me?
Like, Jimmy, hang on a second here.
Hey, yeah, bro.
Yes, sir. Hang on one second here. Ah, look at that. Martez joining us. Hang on a second. Y'all, sorry, man. My dad took a problem all over the place. Hang on a second. You hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, sorry about that. We do apologize to you. In fact, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. I want to thank very much my brother for being on the show with me, y'all. Thank you very much. We do apologize for any technical problems if we have any. By the way, you catch this episode and all the others on anchor.fm/WrestleTracks, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, bro. Have a good night.
See ya.